Joining us right now, a name you are familiar with, Jay Feely, is now an analyst for the NFL on CBS. He'll be on the call this Saturday for the AFC Divisional Playoffs between the Pats and Texans. That's right here on CBS. Coverage begins at 4:30 p.m. That's our time with the NFL today. And, of course, you remember Jay from being in the NFL, of course, and kicking balls through uprights. Jay, it's Dave, Katie, and Nate. How are you?
Excellent. How are you guys? Thanks for having me on.
Yeah.
Well, we appreciate it. And you know what? We're all family here in the CBS family, so I say this with a grain of salt. You're on the call, and we're trying to pump this game up this weekend, so help us out. Pats, Texans.
No one's interested in that one. What is that?
How do we get pumped up here?
Well, you know, you got to go watch Tom Brady. It's must-see TV until he's not there. I mean, just think of Peyton Manning. Who knew that going into it that last year was going to be his last year? And now you look back and you long for the days of watching Peyton Manning. I think people missed him. At some point, we're going to not have Tom Brady. And you're going to look back on these type of games, and you're going to wish that you had paid more attention and watched one of the greatest, if not the greatest, quarterback of all time do his craft. He's trying to get to his seventh Super Bowl, which is just shocking to me. You know, I still think of Tom Brady as the scrawny kid from San Mateo who came up to Michigan, you know, who was just our holder for me on field goals when we won the national championship. You know, he was a third-string quarterback.
Wow.
But even then, he still had that magnetic personality and that ability to lead. I don't think anybody could have told you he would have become the quarterback that he did. But looking at him, you knew that if he got an opportunity, he'd be a great leader.
Jay, the Patriots are 16-point favorites in this game, and Bill O'Brien said that he's not using that as motivation for the guys. And you've been in plenty of NFL locker rooms, and I've got to ask, is that motivation for you guys as players? Is that something that you're aware of and you talk about?
The line doesn't matter. I mean, that's for Vegas, and I don't think players care about that at all. The fact that people overlook you, mm-hmm. the fact that everybody expects you to lose, the fact that no one gives you a chance, that you know they're just discounting that team, especially that defense down in Houston, that can have an impact. I mean, that obviously, I think that Mike Vrabel will have those guys going. There's a lot of guys from Izzo to Vrabel, you know, all the way across the board, offensively, defensively, with Bill O'Brien and George Gotze. Those guys all understand and know the Patriots. And we expected in week three Houston to go up there and to give them an opportunity to win that game because of their knowledge in New England and their ability to say, okay, this is what they try to do. This is what we're going to do differently, or this is how we're going to counter that. And they know that system because they've been in that system, and yet they didn't. You know, they got their butts kicked by a third-string quarterback. You know, and so I think that's why everybody's discounting them. This is a little different Houston team. They played well last week. To have an opportunity to win, they have to get pressure on Tom Brady. You cannot allow him to stand in that pocket, to be comfortable, to get pre-snap reads, and to deliver the ball to the guys that he wants to go, because he'll understand what you're trying to do, and he'll know where to go with the ball. You have to get hits on him. Even if you don't sack him, you got to hit him and knock him down. That's what Denver has done. That's what they did last year, and that's how they beat him. Continually hit Tom Brady, knock him down, knock him out of the pocket. Don't allow him to be comfortable.
Jay Feely doing Texans and Patriots for CBS coming up this weekend. Jay, you know, that Texans team, you mentioned that blowout loss early in the season to New England. What is different about them? Why should we expect things to change? We know that the offense hasn't gotten much better.
Well, their defense has, though, you know, and they're going to try to run the ball offensively, try to keep the ball away from the Patriots, play ball control, try to have long, sustained drives, take shots to their tight ends on play action, and they can't turn the ball over. You just absolutely cannot afford to turn the ball over. But I think that defense has come a long way. When you look at Bowie and you look at Clowney and how well they're playing, those are two of the best in the entire NFL this year. They have got after their quarterback. They have made plays in that secondary, and they made it tough. And that's why they're in the playoffs, because of their defense. And, you know, it's a shame they don't have J.J. Watt. It'd be a lot of fun to watch Clowney and Watt out there getting after Brady. That would definitely add to it and to the intensity of this game. But they understand where they're at. Houston understands that Bill O'Brien's going to have them ready to play. And I'm hopeful that they can make it a good game. And if I'm Houston, I'm taking chances. You know, when we played teams like St. Louis, when they were the greatest show on turf, and we knew that we were outmatched, we were going to take chances against them, whether it be surprise onside kicks. You know, we played St. Louis in the playoffs in Atlanta, and we ran the first punt return he ran a throwback and ran it for 60 yards. The next one, we did a fake throwback and ran it right up the middle on a punt return, and it split like the Red Sea, and he took it right down the field for a touchdown. You have to take chances against teams that you know you're overmatched against, whether it's a fake punt, an onside kick, trying a throwback. So expect some trick plays offensively as well as on special teams, because I think Bill O'Brien knows that if they just line up toe-to-toe and they go head-to-head, that they're probably not going to win that game.
You can catch Jay Feely on the call. Pats, Texans this weekend, CBS. We appreciate your time. We know it's a busy day for you, Jay. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Good to talk to you guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That's Jay Feely doing his best to sell the game this weekend.
I'll tell you, you want to put some drama on that game? Bet on it. 16
right?
points. I mean, I think the 16 points is in play.
Yeah.
You know,
Nate and I were talking about that before the show. And what is the over under 44?
44 is what I saw at last.
So that's a tough one for me. Mm-hmm. I would actually take the 16 point spread, but I don't know what would you take?
Might not touch the over under.
Because I think maybe the under, if I were going to, and I don't ever bet on anything, but I would maybe, if I were going to actually take my hard-earned money and place it on a bet, I think I'd probably take the under on that.
I mean, okay, think about it. You see the Texans scoring more than 10 points.
No, that's the thing. No matter how good their offense or their defense has been, and that's the one selling point that Jay tried to, you know, push on us, which is true.
Cold weather.
Offense has been so bad. Like, no, I don't see the Patriots scoring 44 points.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, because what I'm thinking is, like, you see it being a 34-10 game. That seems like it might be. I mean, it's possible, but it could be a reach.
I mean, it's colder. It's a different, you know what I mean? It's a different time of the season when they last played, and that was a 27-0 with a third-string quarterback.
They gave up 10 points to Cincy, 20 points to Jacksonville, 17 to Indy. Tennessee, they gave up 24. San Diego, 21. Green Bay, 21. Oakland, 27. That's their last, seven games.
This is Houston?
This is Houston. So the point is, will they score more than 10? I mean,
no, will Houston score more than
10? Yeah, okay. Exactly. I think a good over-under, I'd probably put it like 11.5 just for Houston. Just for Houston scoring. If somebody said 11.5, I'd go, So that means, like you said, what did you say the over-under was? 44?
44.
44. So you're looking at a 33-34, 35-10 win for the Patriots to both cover and go over. I mean, obviously, it's 16. I don't know.
It's in play, but I'm not comfortable with it.
Stuff like this scares me. 10-point-plus lines in NFL playoffs scare me.
Mm-hmm.
And this is 16. And my God, what if Houston won this game? Like, where would that rank on the list of upsets? My goodness, that would be insane. Go into Foxborough, knock out New England.
Yeah, well, that would be huge.
Immediately, I mean,
it's one of the biggest.
We could easily be talking about the coaching, right? Like, you know, with Bill O'Brien and all those guys haven't been through that system. But then, like Jay Feely said, they got absolutely smoked the first time around. It was useless having prior knowledge on the Patriots.
It's true. And that was without Tom Brady. That was without Tom Brady. They got smoked 27-0 without Tom Brady. So I understand. I get it. Honestly, if I had to bet that game, I would probably go Pats in the under. That's probably what I'd do. I'm actually I'm more comfortable taking the Pats than I am going over on that point total.
Mm-hmm.
And has anybody looked, by the way, at what the weather is? I got it right here. Let me see.
Cold. I think it's supposed to snow the night before.
It's going to be It's going to be an 8:15 Pacific kick in Boston. So yeah, you're looking at probably below freezing weather.
Yeah.
And you're talking about a team that plays in a dome in Houston. So not really that much going for Houston other than the fact that they get to step on the field and play football for a while. Maybe get an autograph or two. That's about it. It's all
Saturday night,
of.
Clearing and 21 degrees.
Yeah, see, there you go. That to me favors Tom Brady and the New England Patriots. Four down territory in 5 minutes, and we'll talk about the new young coaches in the NFL, and also the impact of the San Diego move on your Oakland Raiders at 7:30. We'll get back into the DeMarcus Cousins extension news with Ken at 8:30. Don't go away. The drive continues. Sports 1140 KHDK.
As the voice of Vance Joseph, he's the new head coach of the Denver Broncos. With the hiring of both him and Sean McDermott, the NFL now has five coaches that are 44 or under. Are we seeing the new generation of coaches here in the NFL?
I think so. I think we're seeing a, kind of a little bit of a sea change, and that's fine. You have your old guard where you have the Grudens and the Cowers. Before that, the Parcells, Belichick kind of carries over. Here's what's funny. Of that list of coaches that are 44 and under, the sixth longest tenured coach in the National Football League, excuse me, fifth, because Tom Coughlin's gone. I'm looking at an old list, is Mike Tomlin. Mike Tomlin has been the coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers since 2007, which means he was 34 years old.
Yeah.
34 years old, and it feels like Mike Tomlin is 54 years old. But, yeah, and I think it's a good thing. I'm excited to see what these young bucks can do.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I think there's always a time when things start to transition a little bit, and that's just how things work, you know. But it does sound something I found interesting in this whole thing is it sounds like – maybe Mike McCoy could end up as his offensive coordinator.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a good thing, especially with a first-time head coach. And again, to the point, young guys, to have those guys on your staff that have head coaching experience. It's going to be a good, interesting decision by the Broncos.
Next generation of retreads, whatever. Oh, there's
guys.
maybe not all of them, but I mean, what, there's 20 teams every year that don't make the playoffs and by that measure are a failure. And a lot of it is just crapshoot. Did you get Aaron Rodgers in the draft? Did you get Tom Brady in the draft? You know, did you get Brock Osweiler through free agent? I can't even say that with a straight face, but you get the point.
I think the success of Adam Gase is going to help a lot.
Yeah.
And it's much like in basketball. You know, you saw with, what's his face?
Boston. Brad Stevens.
With Brad Stevens coming in. Now it's like every team wants that young up-and-comer you know, guy. It's okay to hire a guy in their 30s now to be an NBA head coach. Same thing with the NFL. That's fun. I think it's healthy for the league. Second down.
That's the voice of quarterback Philip Rivers of the San Diego Chargers. Well, they used to be the San Diego Chargers. San Diego has now lost the Chargers. So will the two teams survive long-term in L.A.?
Absolutely they will. And the article that you were talking about in the L.A. Times, obviously there's some people not happy with the decision for the Chargers to move to L.A. But the reality of the matter is it doesn't matter if there's a single fan that ever sits in those seats. That is such a small percentage of the income for NFL teams. L.A. is an 18 million population. They have such a large market. Really, it comes down to corporate sales, and they're going to have a plethora of those. So, they will survive, but will it be a good football market in the sense that they ever have a successful team?
I mean, are we asking if the world is going to end with these two teams,
Nate,
in Los Angeles? Because no, but it's going to be a long time before we see it. I mean, the same story is going to happen. Whatever building they're playing in is going to get old, and maybe it'll only be 10, 15 years from now, because it seems like that element of the greed for owners has been accelerated over the last few years. But they're eventually, LA's not going to want to pony up because they're not going to be putting butts in the seats, and then they're ultimately going to be like, well, fine, San Antonio will have us.
I hate L.A., and I hate L.A. fans, so this is hard for me. I do, and anyone who knows me knows this. I have such disdain for these people, and I said these people. But Los Angeles is now going to be the proud owners of two teams in every major American sport.
Yeah.
Every one, including the MLS, and hockey, and baseball, and football, and basketball. What?
Interesting. I hadn't really thought of it that way.
Two in every sport. So there must be something to the whole LA sports market, because to say it is saturated is an understatement. Is it a good move? I think it's a sad move. I think ultimately,
I think it's crazy that 22 years they don't have a football team, and then within a 2-year time span, they've got two.
That was all about stadiums and politics. So here we go. The Los Angeles Chargers of Anaheim, or whatever the hell.
Yeah, what's up?
It's the last time, so we have to get away with it.
Does it have to be the last time?
No, it won't be the last time.
Okay, well, you just gave me permission to keep playing this song. So, with this move, who wins?
Golly. You know, I hate saying this, but San Diego wins, man. They're going to be just fine. If you're that hardcore of a Chargers fan, L.A.'s not that far away. You can go see the L.A. Snapdragons or whatever the hell they're going to rename them to. It'll be just fine. As for that, there's obviously an overwhelming majority of San Diegans that don't give a damn and want to tell Dean Spanos to stick it. You're talking about him having to pay upwards of $750 million in relocation fees? When you hear stuff like that as a city, you know what you say. Go to hell, dude. If you love us that much, put it towards a stadium right here. Other than that, kick rocks.
Ooh, can we have a hot take, quick take, cold take, whatever that is, where people yell at each other moment? Then we'll go back. I'm not so fascinate, that type of stuff. How can we say San Diego wins? They may win in the sense where they win by not paying for a new stadium,
I guess.
They weren't
going to pay for it anyway. It was coming out of hotel taxes.
I just have a hard time. As much as we make fun of them, San Diego is actually the worst sports town in the country when it comes to winning and championships. And they have some hardcore fans. And I'm not saying they have a lot of them, but I would imagine there's a good 10,000 people in the San Diego area. I think it's a nice round figure that are heartbroken, that are crying about this, 10,000. That hate it. I understand. I understand that. But it's just like everything goes to Los Angeles now. And yeah, they can drive up north, but I think for a lot of it, it's that geographic pride. It's having San Diego on the jersey. It's having Qualcomm Stadium and the surrounding areas and the gas lamp district being shown. I don't think anybody wins. And to be honest with you,
I disagree.
I think if the Chargers had to leave, and I think if the Raiders have to leave, I think the Chargers should have gone to Vegas and the Raiders should have gone to LA. There you go.
You're both wrong. San Diego doesn't win. No, you're like nobody wins.
Nobody wins.
I'll tell you who wins. The NFL wins. The owners win. Dean Spanos wins. That organization is going to go from being worth like what, around $1 billion to like two or three billion. It's astronomical. The value. Same thing that happened to the Rams. They were one of the lowest, you know, rated NFL franchises in terms of how much they were worth. They moved to L.A. They're in, like, the sixth spot now. That is who wins. The rich get richer here. This is all about the NFL, and it's driven by money, and they got richer with it.
This is a long shot, and I know we got to slam through fourth down here. But, in fact, go to fourth down here because this is part of that. All right, so this is a long shot here, I completely admit, Matt, I'm sorry, I know we're short on time.
He's hijacking.
Yeah, I'm hijacking, but do not completely discount this idea. San Diego is now in Los Angeles. Everything seems like the Raiders are going to Las Vegas, but there's still no deal between Mark Davis and Sheldon Adelson. There's going to be a relocation fee the Raiders will have to pay to go to Vegas, seemingly probably right around the same amount, $500 million to $650 million. So what if?
Oh.
What if the Raiders went to San Diego? It's a better brand. There's a much bigger fan base. The stadium itself, you could bridge the gap a lot.
No way that happens.
I wouldn't say there's no way. I'd say there's a 95% chance that doesn't happen. But there are some components of it that make sense.
They'll go to Mexico City before they go to San Diego.
No, I don't think so. I think they have a built-in fan base already down there. You talked about Charger fans going up to L.A. You don't think Raider fans are going to come down to San Diego?
No, they do.
Exactly. They own that city. Think about when the Raiders play the Chargers in L.A. It will be an even bigger home game. So maybe Adelson and the Raiders can't figure it out. And now maybe San Diego is a little bit of leverage where the Raiders go down there. The NFL keeps San Diego, the market, still in the Super Bowl rotation. Mm. And maybe they put together a deal combining the $350 from the NFL and the Raiders, combining the $500 or $600 from the relocation fee. That right there is $1 billion. You bridge the gap with the city, which, by the way, might vote more likely for a team coming down that is a winner, that has a future. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but I'm saying it's not the dumbest idea in the world. Maybe the second dumbest idea. All right, we got a break. When we come back, let's talk about this DeMarcus Cousins extension. Put out a poll yesterday. The response, very, very surprising. So here's a question going in. Is there really a split amongst Kings fans when it comes to DeMarcus Cousins, or is it just a really vocal minority? Also, have the Sacramento Kings seen themselves in a playoff spot for the final time this season? We'll discuss next, 5 minutes from now on The Drive, Sports 1140 KHDK. 7:35, time to get ready for the International Sportsman's Expo, coming to Cal Expo next Thursday through Sunday, January 19th through the 22nd. Jersey Mike's, proud sponsor of Four Down Territory, two Sacramento area locations, 624 Watt Avenue in the Arden Town Center and on Fulton Marconi in the Town and Country Village. Before we get into the Kings here, let's step outside of sports for a second because.
Oh, really?
There's food.
Oh, hell yeah.
Oh, you don't like the smell of my Lunchables?
I haven't smelt it yet.
What?
Okay. Yeah, Katie.
I thought it was going to be a smell thing.
No, stop making us smell your lunch, Katie.
Yeah, right? Dude, Lunchables really smell?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either. Does anybody over 20 do Lunchables anyways?
Yes.
I guess so.
Yeah.
I listen.
I hadn't until I started working
I'll step
here.
In front of her on
They've
this
got
one.
It down the street. It's a quick little, you know, snack.
Unconfirmed that I.
Hell, I still do the pizza ones.
Jacked one of them. I never understood the pizza ones. I never understood those. Like, is it cold?
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
I mean, it's just kind of.
Here's something you could do for lunch here pretty soon locally. Head down to your friendly neighborhood Taco Bell and grab yourself a fried chicken taco. Now, fried chicken taco, that sounds okay. I mean, whatever. No. There's fried chicken and lettuce and sauce and all that. But no. This is a taco with a shell made of fried chicken. It tested very well in Bakersfield and Kansas City over the past 2 years.
Oh, perfect.
The shell of the naked chicken chalupa is made up of all white meat seasoned chicken. The rest of the taco is packed with lettuce, tomatoes, cheddar cheese, and avocado sauce. I stress again, the curved shell of the taco, this is radio, I can't show you the picture. The curved shell is fried chicken.
Oh, that's what it is.
And then they stuff it with food. They stuff it with the fillings.
Whatever.
The shell is fried chicken.
I don't get you, America. That sounds like the most disgusting thing.
I will have to try one. Just to try it, but I cannot imagine I would enjoy it. First off, wouldn't it be one of the things I hate worst about a sandwich? A lot of people like a kind of a dry, crusty bread, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I like a penetrable bread. And granted, I have little rubber balls for teeth, but what I don't like
about that Dutch crunch game.
The problem is I don't like biting into a sandwich where you have to bite down so hard and it mushes out the fillings.
Yeah, okay, gotcha.
That's my problem. I don't enjoy that. That's why I enjoy a nice sourdough or a wheat
or a pita.
Even a pita, a flatbread.
I had a chicken sandwich on a croissant for dinner last night.
That's absolutely
lovely.
Fine if it's a fresh croissant, not a rubbery old croissant. So. I can't imagine biting into a fried chicken chalupa would not mush out all the chicken or all the fillings. That doesn't make sense. I don't even know what the calorie count is on this
Seriously.
Thing. And let's be honest. If you're going to Taco Bell, you're not counting calories most likely. But my goodness, we're going to have a taste test when that comes in.
Go ahead.
And call our friends out at old Taco Bell and have them bring a couple by. DeMarcus Cousins, we talked about this at length yesterday, so we won't spend a ton of time on it today. But did want to mention DeMarcus Cousins, as you've heard by now, according to reports, is looking at a big, fat, giant, super contract extension, upwards of $200
million.
$200 million. I put out a poll yesterday. I think it was sometime in the afternoon. Just saying, simply, how do you feel about this extension? And, you know, I have a lot of Kings fans on my Twitter feed, as do both of you. And I peruse the blogs, you know, or whatever you call them now, Sacktown Royalty, KingsFans.com. I go on the Facebook groups and read there. Now, you know, Sacramento Kings was in 1985 and to forever, and Sacramento Kings Kingdom, and I've even been known to read the Kings Reddit thread, which is actually a lot less scary than you'd think.
Than most Reddit threads.
It really is.
I don't think I've ever been on Reddit.
I think, honestly, the only reason I've been on Reddit, I did a...
relationship advice is where it's at on the internet.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
So,
no? All right,
no.
Anyway.
So,
Kings.
I would have thought putting this poll out, and obviously I'm a big fan of the extension. We know that. That's how I feel personally. I would have thought in putting the poll out that it would have been I wouldn't say overwhelmingly against, but at probably 60-40 against, especially after what we talked about yesterday, fourth-year opt-out reported and a trade exception is what he's looking for, a no-trade clause. as of right now, with 49 minutes left, so it was right about the end of the show yesterday I put this out, 1,252 people have voted. 82% love it. Love the extension. The two choices were love it or WTF. If you don't know what that stands for, I can't help you. 82%. If you'd have told me I had to bet $100 cash and you said 82% is going to be one of the sides of the polls, which one would you put it on? Love it or hate it? I would have very quickly put that $100 on hate it. I wouldn't have thought it would have been 82% on either side, but if you told me that was the result for sure, I would have said more likely hate it. Well, not the case. So I started
science, man.
That's and listen, it's a Twitter poll. And I've been asking, well, are you going to use that as a barometer? Well, yeah, I'm going to use it as a barometer. In fact, to me, it's a little, if you have a large enough sample size, and I think about 1,300 people is a pretty decent sample size. Presidential polls have been conducted with less of a response. And you also factor in for the fact that it is anonymous. I can't see who's voting. Nobody else can see how you voted. Mm. And I would also imagine that there's some Boston fan or some Laker fan or something on there that are voting no just to vote no because they wanted DeMarcus Cousins. I have to allow for that. That it might even inch a little bit higher by a percentage or two. But I think the bulk of the people voting in that poll are Sacramento Kings fans. I think that's fair to say that most of the people that I deal with on Twitter are Kings fans. So does that mean, is there any other way to take it, help me here, than there is a very loud, very vocal minority that is kind of that anti-Cousins, I'm tired of him, I hate this extension crowd? Or is there another explanation? Because I honestly thought it was a bigger representation of the fan base that would have a problem with this.
I think the explanation is that it's probably nonsense and really is not represented. I mean, think about the people that you're not including. Number one, non-Twitter users.
True.
Number two, people that like stopped giving a damn because of him years ago or because of, say, the Maloofs. I mean, there are plenty of people like that, too, that have straight up checked out of this team and have for years and years and years and just don't care. Like, and sometimes, yeah, because we've talked to people too that have said, dude, I'm done with this team until they get rid of this guy. Right? You've
sure,
heard that.
Sure. And absolutely.
Again, like,
ton
that's just, you know, you talk to a couple people, you hear callers here and there, but like, those people aren't voting on your poll.
Right.
I would agree with you, and I thought about it, except for the fact that. That's assuming that you don't have people using Twitter that do not give a you know what, that are pissed off, that are upset. They're obviously active enough to be on the internet and to post on all these forums. They're active.
So why aren't they doing your poll?
Saying they're active enough to where in my Twitter feed, I can at least tell you from personal experience, the responses, the written responses, are probably 60-40 against the people that, even to this poll, I retweeted the poll results and said, this is surprising to me. Probably 7 out of 10 of those responses were, I have no idea who these people are. They must not be Kings fans. They're certainly not. One guy was adamant that they weren't couldn't be season ticket holders. Couldn't be season ticket holders if you were in favor of this thing. And then a bunch of season ticket holders, one guy screenshotted his bill and said, I'm a season ticket holder and I love this deal. Mm. So I understand what you're saying, Nate. And listen, the assumption that everybody's voting in my dumb Twitter poll is idiotic. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying I think there's a lot of people, at least in King's land.
Or that, maybe there's a lot of people that understand, Dave, that this is a good thing because you want to lock up a talent like this, even if you intend on moving them.
What are we trying to get to here ultimately? Like, just that it is a surprise that this poll is so one-sided?
It's a surprise, like, and really, what is the actual feeling amongst the Kings base when it comes to this guy and it comes to this extension? And Katie, to your point, I would agree with you on that. In fact, that's what we went in. I really thought the whole trade kicker thing would throw that out of the equation. I honestly thought that would move a lot of people away from that, because now you do put, if that happens, all the balls in that court. And maybe people, and Nate, to your point, maybe people are more likely to associate with me or vote in my poll or whatever, because I'm a known pro Cousins guy, yeah. Pro, you know, all that. I understand that. But Jesus, if you looked at my mentions half the time, it's a bloodbath when it comes to this dude. I'm just saying I was really surprised to see the result. And I do wonder if the things that you read and hear are really indicative of how Joe and Joe King's fan feel.
And the, I mean, a no trade clause too. Does that ultimately mean anything to you? I mean, if they if something happens and there's a no trade clause in there, and 3 years down the road, if this is bad and they want to move him, it can still happen. Like, he can say, yeah, get me out of here. I mean, what is the worst case scenario here?
Carmelo Anthony.
He wishes he was Carmelo Anthony at this point. Carmelo's been to the playoffs.
No, I'm just saying Carmelo Anthony, he makes a ton of money. He has a no-trade clause.
Can't do anything with him.
Can't do anything with him. The situation.
Let me ask you, who would take on Carmelo Anthony right now?
Well, it's funny you asked that, Nate, because I was, while I was hanging out before the Jay Feely interview, I was on my phone, and I was playing with the trade machine.
Who really would take
Carmelo? No, what I'm saying is I started thinking, I do this way too much, so don't. I know this isn't a serious thought, but I started thinking, Carmelo Anthony plays a three.
Oh, hell, I'd take him.
I don't know. He wants out of New York. And is there anything? Maybe it's just a situation. he's signed for another, it's this year, next year, and then a player option for the following year, which you have to imagine at his age, he's going to hold on to that player option, even with the higher cap. Mm-hmm. The player option's like $27 million or something silly like that. So, the Knicks are beholden to him probably for another 2.5 years. So I start thinking, well, could you know, a combination of Rudy and a couple of – I started looking
Phil
at
Jackson
it.
Phil Jackson could be fleeced. That's our point.
Right. I think people would be very upset with that move because one of the biggest gripes we get is about going younger. And do you want to continue to bring in veteran retreads to try and make the playoffs and lose – or do you want to develop younger players? But
there's
no
reason to indulge this rumor. That's not the point.
No,
Where I was getting at here is that at Carmelo Anthony's point, it's very difficult for them to trade him anyway.
Yes.
And so if DeMarcus Cousins ever got to that point where he was that toxic and was poisoning the franchise to that level, a no trade clause isn't going to make that much of a difference because who's going to take him anyway, right?
And if it was
really that bad, wouldn't he say, dude, I'll waive it. Get me the hell out of here.
It was Howard Beck, I want to say, within the last month that tweeted out, you know, saying from all of the general managers that I've talked to, and obviously that's not every single one, there hasn't been a single one that would be willing to take on DeMarcus Cousins.
Well, I think there's a lot of people, too, that we just got a text there saying, you know, part of the reason is they're wondering if DeMarcus Cousins – The contract would look a lot better if, in fact, it stabilizes this franchise to the outside and his presence would attract other players here to play with him. And that's part of it, too. You wonder. That has not been the case in the past. So you wonder if that would be the case in the future. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Scott, you're on KHDK.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi.
A couple of things.
I'm gonna put you on hold, Scott. Either hang up and call back, or we'll walk to another part of your house because we couldn't hear you, buddy. Casey, hi.
Hey guys, how you doing?
Good, good.
So here's my opinion on the trade clause, the no trade clause. So DeMarcus has been playing for 5 years now with the rumors every single year that he's getting traded, and at this point he's kind of like, listen, I've made myself clear. I want to stay in Sacramento. If I'm going to sign this contract, I want to stay in Sacramento. If not, let me go as a free agent, and I'm going to pick where I want to sign, and they're going to keep me because I don't want to keep living, worrying about getting traded to, you know, a city I don't want to be in. I've made it clear. I want to be here. I want to help build this. And I think it's going to end up taking a lot of stress off him if he can actually get a deal where he knows that he's going to be here for at least 5 or 6 years, and he doesn't have to worry about being traded unless he wants to be traded.
Casey, I think you're 100% correct. I think there's literally no way to argue what you're saying. I think the question that is on a lot of people's minds is they're not necessarily concerned with taking stress off a guy that's got a $207 million contract. What they're worried about is what does that do to the franchise, and does that make DeMarcus Cousins the most powerful person in the Sacramento Kings building?
I mean, I think you could argue that he already is that without a $200 million contract. And I just think, I don't know, I think if you're going to sign him to $200 million, the no trade clause shouldn't be something that's going to sway you one way or the other. You're giving the guy $200 million, and he's the face of your franchise already. It's not like he's, you know, Carmelo, when he signed his deal, he was already a little bit older, so he's going to be, DeMarcus is going to be only like 32 by the time his deal's done. I think Carmelo is going to be like 35 or 36 by the time his deal was done. So you're not worried about as much of a decline and getting stuck with a player who may not be as talented as they were when the contract started. So I just think there's a lot of differences between him and Carmelo also.
There are a lot of differences, and to play devil's advocate, Nate, on that, and this, I think, is the, I don't even want to call it a devil's advocate, this is just a very fair point that somebody who may not be in favor of this deal would say. Okay, so you gave him the no-trade clause. He now has complete control over where he goes and how he goes. Let's say 2 years from now he doesn't like the coach. Mm-hmm. Let's say he goes out and publicly says, I don't like coach. Coach is stupid, and this sucks, and this is dumb, and I don't like it. And he gets very angry, and he's openly angry, and he's upset, and all the worst nightmares for any Kings fan about DeMarcus Cousins. Let's just say he does that. Well, what can the Kings do? I mean, literally, what can the Kings
done?
Do? Right. But now you're signing.
Now it's on paper.
Thank you.
Well, isn't that a little bit more comforting for fans? Like, at least we're not going to be sitting here going, speculating behind the scenes that DeMarcus Cousins is pulling all the strings. We'll friggin' know it.
And are you comfortable with that? If that was the case,
I'm not totally sure about that. I mean, it's always difficult when you're saying, "Hey, do you want to continue your crappy life because it might get worse if you want to do anything different?"
I don't think I've asked you straight up, and if you did, I'm sorry. How do you feel about this extension?
I'm kind of torn, man. Yeah. I mean, I don't like the no trade clause. I don't like that idea. For DeMarcus, that's great. I want them to be able to have flexibility. I'm not sold that at this point you're going to be able to change DeMarcus, because that's what it always comes back to is, hey, if this guy could just, and it's not about his talent on the floor, but if this guy could just, whatever it is, keep his cool with the officials, you know, whatever it might be, we're the stripes are on that zebra, dude. Like, right. that's not changing. Now,
can I ask this question? How many players total in the NBA do you think that you can have that same ask that same exact question or make that same exact statement about that there's nothing there, you know, where it's, I think every star player, almost every franchise and fan can say the same thing about it. It's like, okay, you take Damian Lillard, oh, he's fantastic if he could just defend better, you know what,
right.
I mean, how many star players have complete games with zero issues involved?
We want to know what the thing is about Damian Lillard, though, is that he's a point guard, and it's a guard-centric league, and you know that.
I mean, but that's just an example. You know, that I'm just pulling. I just pulled Damian Lillard out of the hat. But how many star players, especially all-star type franchise players in this league, can you make that statement about?
All right,
not
let's
the
see.
Ones that
let me
are
try.
Winning.
So Kawhi Leonard, I think, would be one.
Yeah.
I mean, now that he's signed, I mean, wouldn't you put Russell Westbrook in there?
No.
No?
Because I think that there's complaints about him as well. I mean, he goes out and puts up numbers, and he, you know, he plays hard and he defends. But I think that there's, you know, something with him where the people are obviously like, well, he needs to be able to do more. Like, if he could just share the ball a little more and get more people involved, even though he's,
LeBron?
You know. LeBron, you can't say anything about him.
Steph? Curry?
I think you probably could. You probably could say, I think most people would like him to defend a little bit
Best
better.
Best bargain in the league, Steph Curry right there.
Well, yeah, I mean, that'll change soon.
Muhammad, you're on KHTK.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, guy.
Morning.
I had a few comments. I'm all for signing DeMarcus Cousins, but what I notice is every team that is like a playoff team has like an all-star point guard. Do you think signing DeMarcus on that big contract, would we be able to sign another big market player, or are we going to have to develop, which I know the Kings aren't good at?
I mean, the answer there is this. When you look at their salary situation, there's not a lot of long-term lockup. Rudy, whether he gets traded or whatever, is gone at the end of this year.
They're in a good spot.
They're in a pretty decent spot, and they got a lot of guys that are going to be on rookie contracts for a while. Remember, the salary cap's going to be, what, around $95 million? And that's next year. That doesn't even account. So think about this. No matter what happens, DeMarcus will be making $16, $17 million next year. That extension won't kick into the following year. they're going to be in a decent cap space. I don't think it's a matter of whether or not they'll have cap, and I think it's somewhere around $50 to $55 million they'll have available next year. It's a matter of whether or not they can get people to come here. 1 minute left. Chris, you're on KHDK.
Hey, guys. So on the DeMarcus thing, here's kind of where I sit. I am a huge fan of it. For people that sit there all the time and bash DeMarcus saying he needs to be a leader of this team, he needs to, you know, show that he's going to help get this franchise out of it, isn't that exactly what this does by him saying he doesn't want a no-trade clause? It was on the Jim Rome show, I think, 2 days ago. I think he had Mark Stein on, someone like that. And he said, all the people that have played with DeMarcus says, I want to stay here. I want to right this ship. I understand it's a mess, but it's my mess that I want to fix. And by doing something like this, I think that right there shows people he wants to be a leader. So I think, if anything, this should at least quiet all those folks.
I agree with it.
Well, how does it feel to want?
I want to have straight teeth.
Vivek wants to win the playoffs
right.
This year. Jed York wants to win the Super Bowl every year.
I just have to hope. Yeah. You have to hope that
Jed
comes
York
with it.
Jed York wants his cousin to stop throwing shade at him on Twitter.
From the 916, how much of the contract is actually guaranteed? No one's talking about that because the entire contract's guaranteed.
The entire contract is guaranteed.
It's not like football.
Yeah.
The whole contract's guaranteed.
We also haven't discussed how common or uncommon it is in the NBA to have a no-trade clause in a contract.
It's a lot less common than you think.
Yes.
It's a lot less common than you think. Scott Kaplan from San Diego is going to join us next. We get back to football, Raiders and Chargers, 7:56. Time to get ready for the International Sportsman's Expo. Coming to Cal Expo next Thursday through Sunday, January 19th to the 22nd. Back in 3 minutes with Scott Kaplan on The Drive, Sports 1140 KHDK.